We're taking a break from fresh episodes for a bit, but instead of leaving you hanging, I'll be republishing the episodes that I think deserve a second listen. I know, we love us some fresh content, but smart ideas are worth hearing twice, because sometimes hearing something again is exactly what will move us from passive listener to actually adding the strategy to our toolkit. So put those earbuds in, pull that pen out, let's make this re-listen actionable.
The timeline for AMP emails, if you have not previously sent one out and need to get approved by Google, is 3 to 6 months. And you have to have a production-ready email. Wow. Do I know a single email marketer, email developer thinking that far out? Absolutely not.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran. And in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and-play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, let's read today's email. Tell us something about yourself and we'll give you something to be excited about. Pro tip, if your inbox isn't doing this email justice, view it in your browser. Start quiz. What's your job like? Product focused? Development focused? We're clicking product focused. How does email fit into your product? Transactional emails? Marketing emails? Both? We'll click both. People think your job is mostly meetings, so many meetings. Spreadsheets on spreadsheets, data diving. Let's click meetings. When is your product getting released? Next quarter, for sure. This year, if I'm lucky. Does a bug fix count? Let's do bug fix. Last question, what's your goal for 2024? Speak at / attend email camp. Create an email design system. Higher engagement rates. Let's hit higher engagement rates. We've learned so much about you. It's almost like we cracked the code. Get it? Anyway, let's get to the good news. The wait is over. All right, Megan, thank you so much for joining. It's a pleasure to finally be speaking with you after following you forever. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Hello, hello. I am Megan Bischhausen. I am currently the senior email developer for Cinch. We've gone through a couple of different names since I've been here. I started with Email and Acid, and then Email and Acid was acquired by Pathwire, and then Pathwire was acquired by Cinch, and we were known as Cinch Email for a while, but now we're just simply known as Cinch. Nice. So I handle all the lifecycle marketing emails for Email and Acid, Mailgun, and Mailjet. So any emails you've gotten from any of those three brands, I probably have been the one to code it.
Nice. I want to dig into that in a second. But first, tell us what all those things are and how they work in tandem together and how you juggle all that.
Yeah. So the quick rundown of each product. So Email and Acid, you probably know, maybe you do love it. It's an email Q&A product. So you get your email previews. That's what most people use it for. You get unlimited previews on Email and Acid to make sure your email looks good and all the various different devices. You can also get some analytics on there. There's an HTML editor if you need to like mess with your code and Q&A in specific products, which is really great. So that's where like I originally was going to work for. Mailjet is a great email marketing platform, great for small businesses. So that's just your typical ESP, has a great drag and drop editor. Fun fact, Mailjet is the company that created and maintains MJML. So if you code using MJML, you have the Mailjet team to thank for that one.
Cool.
Yeah. And Mailgun is another email service, ESP type thing. Great for software developers and companies doing a lot of transactional email. If you're doing a lot of API work, Mailgun is a great service to use to send those emails out on.
Awesome. I love how they're like separate products
under
that same umbrella. So you know, sometimes you'll see ESPs just say, hey, we're going to start niching over here and serving that audience. And you're like, wait, but can you actually really do that? So when you have separate product teams working on it, you know that your needs are going to be met.
Yeah. So we can meet needs of a lot of people. You can also find a lot of the functionality of email on Acid within Mailjet and Mailgun, like those previews and whatnot. It's not as many email clients as you can in just pure email on Acid, but you can leverage that service within Mailgun and Mailjet to, you know, QA your emails a little bit more than you otherwise would have. So it's nice to see how they're all starting to connect to each other a little bit more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're probably the one behind the coding. So yes. What's the team like? What's your process like? Who do you work with?
Yeah. So the funny thing is that I was recently at Inbox Expo and I was talking to someone who was a Mailgun/Mailjet customer. And he was like, you probably lead a huge team of email developers to make all these emails. And nope, I'm just the one email developer handling all three brands. I work in tandem with my coworker, Julia Ritter. She's our senior email marketing manager. We're kind of two sides of the same coin. We work very closely together to get all these emails out the door. So generally, she's the one writing, sending, strategizing. I'm the one coding everything. We have an email design system that I developed a couple of years ago when I first joined the company. That was like task number one, email design system that can handle all three brands so that we can create emails more rapidly. And that's been super fun to work on and find the little efficiencies to make coding emails even faster.
That is amazing. Wow. They're so lucky to have you, seriously. Like, I don't know how you do all of that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. For anybody who's interested in kind of the more technical part of that, I did give a talk at Parcel Unpacked a couple of years ago. I use Parcel to code all my emails. So that's on YouTube for free. You can go ahead and watch it and it gets into all the technical bits of how I handle that email design system and code all those emails. So if you're into that thing, it's a cool watch.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds awesome. Awesomely Yay. Valuable too. All right. So let's get into this email.
Yeah.
So I saw at the top, it's an April Fool's Day email. So
yes.
When did you start ideating and how did you land on this?
Yeah. So it's like an April Fool's email. There wasn't really like a quote unquote joke in it. We just always like to use April Fool's to come up with some sort of bigger idea that we may not necessarily have time for otherwise. Mm-hmm. So this email, we probably started thinking about it at the beginning of the year. We started brainstorming April Fool's before that, but we came upon the idea for this year's email probably at like the beginning of the year. I started working on it. I was attempting to build in a long enough timeline to get Email on Acid approved to send AMP emails from Google.
Ooh, nice.
Ended up that I did not build a long enough timeline to do that. The Mailgun audience was already approved to send AMP emails, so they got an AMP component, which was really fun. Email on Acid sadly did not, and now I have a whole coded email for Email on Acid that was not able to go out, at least that part of it.
You could send it next April Fool's.
April Fool's, I can send it out.
Guess what? We're sending the same email again. Right? April Fool's.
It's the email I'm going to use to get us approved by Google. I was talking about this recently. The timeline for AMP emails, if you have not previously sent one out and need to get approved by Google, is 3 to 6 months. And you have to have a production-ready email. Wow. Do I know a single email marketer, email developer thinking that far out? Absolutely not.
That's crazy. It's crazy. How do you run promos like that? That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, once you're approved on the specific email address, you're good to go forever. It's like that initial approval process. It's a 3 to 6 month leeway. So I'll probably end up using that email to get Email on Acid ready to go for AMP for email. And then we'll come up with some other fun idea to utilize it there.
Cool.
But yeah, so with this email for the Mailgun audience, at least there were four different versions of this email. We did an AMP email that's fully interactive, a fully interactive email that works on Apple devices, a partially interactive email for Outlook.com. And then we had our fallback, which is nice. A lot of why we needed such a long timeline, because I was coding four different emails. Basically, that all were pretty big lifts to get done.
For sure. They're super complicated.
Yeah.
So what did the ones that were not interactive look like?
So those were pretty simple. It was just a regular email with an image, some copy into CTA. Mm-hmm. So people on like Outlook.com and people who don't get interactive emails just got a static image, no quiz. And we just had the CTA go through, and this was for all of them, the CTA was click through to landing pages to submit a proposal for email camp. And then below the email camp speaker call out were articles specific to your quiz result. And then the fallback just had more generic articles, which was kind of a mixture of everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Was there a thought to link to an external quiz?
We thought about it. And we included a link to be able to go to the view and browser link to get the whole interactive quiz if somebody wanted to look. We did not want to introduce the friction our CTA being like, go take this quiz, now go through the quiz, now click this other thing to get to the landing page. That just felt like too many steps and too much friction to get people to do what we wanted them to do. So we gave the option for a view and browser link if they wanted to see it. You know, we did like a whole, this is an interactive email, you know, not like click here if you want to check it out. But basically, that's essentially what it boiled down to. You can see it in your browser. I don't remember exactly what we said. And then with just the button CTA going to the landing page for the call for speakers and the other articles from our websites. So that's how we handled that. Yeah, we want to make sure we didn't have too much friction for users who weren't getting the interactive version.
Especially since it's an email where, like, if you really strip it down, it's you collecting data about them.
Yes.
But when you do it in such an interactive way, it's so fun and it feels so like they want to give that information, not just because they want to share it, because they want a relationship and they want relevant content, but also because it's just a fun medium where they're just kind of like, hey, this is fun. So when you take that out and you just have it be a regular quiz, then it just feels like they're doing you a favor and that friction becomes so much heavier and so much stronger.
Yeah.
I like that you just thought through that and said like, no, we're just going to give you the value without you having to work for it, which is cool.
Yeah. Whenever I work on interactive emails, I always like to think through what the experience is going to feel like if somebody doesn't have an interactive email and to make sure that their experience is also going to be good. Because I don't want anybody I don't want to say suffering bad effects. That feels a little dramatic for these emails.
First world suffering.
Yeah, like first world suffering. Like, I don't want anybody to get annoyed or have a bad experience, you know, because we didn't think through these experiences all the way. You know, it's not that hard to think through, okay, like at each level, what does this look and feel like? And what can we compromise on? What can we not compromise on? Because there are always, when you work in interactive email, there are always a few compromises. It's just a matter of like, how far are you willing to go? I tend to play a little bit more conservative. If somebody has like an awful experience, I won't do the thing. And I have nixed ideas before because I felt like the experience was awful. I've done that with HTML forms before. You can do HTML forms in email, but when you hit submit, the experience is terrible. So I haven't used it. So yeah, it's just whatever your comfort level is and how much you want to think about it and, you know, those things.
Yeah, how much you care about what their experience is like.
Yeah.
So you started thinking about this at the beginning of the year and you already knew at that point that you were opening up a call for email camp or that came later?
That came a little bit later, actually, because at first we were just like, we're going to take the results of these quizzes and send people to landing pages with articles based on the quiz. So if your result was that you are a developer, we gave you mostly developer-based articles. If your result was that you're an email marketer, we gave you mostly email marketer-related articles. We did have an option that like, you do everything, because there are people out there who are our email teams of one. And that one ended up being, you know, a combo. I think we ended up with 6 or 7 different landing pages. It was a big lift. That was mostly Julia handling the landing page part. So it was a lot on both of us to do these.
For sure.
Yeah. And so we originally were going to do that. And then we were talking email camp and the call for speakers was going to go out soon. April 1st was a little bit early for what we normally do, but we were like, hey, this can be something special for people getting these emails. They can get in early if they have talk ideas. And it did work. We got quite a few speaking proposals through those emails. So it definitely worked. And yeah, we added that a little bit later on.
Nice. I love when things come together so beautifully.
Yeah, it's really always awesome. Really fun.
What have you done with the data that you've collected from these quizzes? Have you done anything with them yet?
Nothing quite yet. We've been in such like go, go, go mode lately with the amount of emails we've been pushing out that we haven't gone back and looked. And that's actually a really good reminder for us to go back and look. Because when the emails first were going out, we were looking at where people were clicking. And I remember us being surprised at the results people were getting, because having them click through these separate pages also gave us data for who was getting what results. So that allows us to start inferring what percentage of our audience are developers versus marketers versus both. So we definitely need to go back and look at that. We just haven't had the time with anything, right? Email marketers are so busy. Sometimes we collect this data and we don't have time right now to 100%. Go in back and look at it. So we'll get back and take a look and see what's going on there. Yeah.
But even just that high level, big picture, okay, the percentage of this type, the percentage of that type, that's great to have.
Yeah. And that's something we definitely have talked a lot about, you know, trying to figure out, because our audience is so vast across the different products. Like the people we talk to on Mailgun is totally different from the people who we talk to on Mailjet, which is a little bit different than what we talk to on email and Acid. So we have to write and do things in, you know, slightly different ways for each audience. And it's great for us to start figuring out those lines a little bit more to see like what effort is worth it where.
Yeah. Actually, you're reminding me, because you said it was acquired. Yes. How was that list when you first got it? It was like a total disaster. Like, how did you organize it and clean it up and keep track of everything?
Yeah. So Mailgun and Mailjet were already together when I joined. So the story is that I was applying to email and Acid and I got through all my interviews. And then in the time between my final interview and waiting to find out whether I got the job, the news dropped that email and Acid was being acquired by Pathwire, which was Mailgun and Mailjet. So then I went through one more interview and then they offered me the job and here I am now. The main thing that I had to help on was migrating our email and Acid list over to where Mailgun and Mailjet were living, which was a different ESP. So that was kind of like my big task, which was huge, but we did it. But other than that, I don't think the lists really changed that much. Mm-hmm. Julia's the one who maintains all of that. And as far as I know, the list stuff hasn't been too bad. So nice. She handled all that aspect of it while I handled the technical code side of things.
Okay. So what was the creation process like once you landed on the idea? Once you said, okay, we're segmenting our people, we're sending them to landing pages, then what happened?
Yeah. So then I got to coding. We put in requests to our design team. We're lucky that we have great designers to work with. They designed all the images for us. There were like little images that went with each result. For the design of the quiz, we wanted to do more of like a background image to start because you have the start quiz button and you have the background image. And we wanted it to feel like very BuzzFeed-ish. Mm. That's where a lot of our inspiration came from.
Yeah.
Was those BuzzFeed quizzes that you can do on their website. So we just requested those graphics from design and had a little bit of a back and forth to make sure those look good. And then I just handled the code. It was a lot of testing. I got help along the way from my friend Jay Oram. I got a little bit of help from Mark Robbins. I go to them a lot with interactive email questions. I still consider myself very new to coding interactive emails where they have been doing it for years and years and years. So nice. I always learn something new when I work on a new build for interactive email because I try to push it like a little bit further every time. Cool. So they helped me out a little bit and helped me test, which was great because it's always good for those types of builds if you can get people to test it for you live before it goes out. Since you can't test interactivity in something like email and Acid, those are just screenshots. So it was a lot of tests to my iPhone, to Apple Mail, to other people's phones to make sure it looked good all over the place. I started with the version that would work on browsers and in Apple Mail. And then from there, I had to code the version for Outlook.com, which had to be coded in a little bit of a different way because the interactivity support in Outlook.com is different than what Apple supports. So we had to switch things up there a little bit. Like the questions are a little bit different on the quiz.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I had to shorten it up. So like with the browser version and the Apple version, you could switch between these different roles. And it was essentially like tabbing. You could tab between the different things and you sort of had different paths going on. And we couldn't have that for Outlook.com. Mm-hmm. So with Outlook.com, you could technically choose every single option if you wanted to, because it's all just a checkbox input. With Apple, you can do everything with a radio input, which means you can switch back and forth. With Outlook.com, it's a checkbox, which means multi-select. So you could technically select everything. And I was just like, it's kind of fun that you can select everything. And then just the way the logic worked was a little bit different. Part of the quiz, and this was true in all the cases, was a little bit of like optical illusion where a lot of the times your answers didn't really matter to your result in the end. On the Apple version, your result was based on the very first question and that's it. The rest was for show and did not matter. It was for fun. On Outlook.com, your result was based on the last question because we couldn't have the interactivity of answering a question and then having results show up down below. It had to be like nested within that question. So all those to the last question, all for show. But I thought it was still really fun.
Yeah.
We made it fun. It's a little bit extra. It's fine. And for the AMP for email was very similar to the Apple version. The coding for that was very different. Coding for that is similar to more traditional web development than email development. So that was looking at a lot of documentation from Google to figure that whole thing out. That was a bear to code for me because it was just like totally different way of thinking versus how I know to code for email. And when you know how to code for email, suddenly switching to web can be really hard because then you suddenly don't need to employ all the tricks, but you don't know the proper way to do it. So then you have to learn the technical proper way to do it. But right. It was a fun little challenge. Yeah, it was a super fun challenge. It felt really good once we got it all figured out for sure.
So how were the responses? I mean, you mentioned that you got great applications for email. Yeah. Account, but did anyone hit reply and say like, this was so fun, thanks, or anything like that? Loving these episodes? You'll love my email playbooks. They're chock full of inspirational swipes, and my comments are even color-coded, so you get a super clear breakdown of what works and what doesn't work about each email. Plus, I break down all the nitty-gritties of each flow, so you know exactly what to include and why, without ever giving you cookie-cutter templates that hem in your creativity. In fact, Paul Melrose, who bought the playbook bundle, rated them a 10 and said, "Since using Nikki's playbooks, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without them would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute." And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Check out all 12 email playbooks on offer at nikkielbaz.com/email-playbooks and stop jumping out of a plane without a parachute.
Yes, the responses were interesting. So you'd have some people who are like, this is so fun. And some people were just like, hey, am I able to do this in Mailgun? I would love to do this. And we're like, sorry, no, you can't. It was all custom coded. And a couple of software engineers who were like, oh, what the heck is this? We had one person, we had a question that was like, how many times a day do you Google? Like using Google as a verb, meaning internet search. And somebody responded back that they were unhappy that we use the word Google because they don't support monopolies. That probably is one of my favorite responses of all time, just because it's so petty that I feel like only a stereotypical software engineer could,
could respond that way.
Like, I don't support monopolies, so you should have said internet search. Okay.
You're always going to get someone.
Always going to get positive and negative. I was mostly positive and people were clicking through. I think, especially for the Mailgun audience, that was probably one of our most engaged with emails from them.
Awesome.
Which was great to see and very exciting because they don't always engage. So yeah, to see the level of engagement from them was very fun for sure.
That's great. Are you using that to inform anything else? Like, okay, we have to do something like this in the future, whether that means the format, the quiz format or something else. Like what do you think they were looking for that they enjoyed so much that you could then use?
I'm not sure with the quiz. We did recently redesign our newsletter for that audience. We did an A-B test and we did find that the newer design, which is more like a digest. Mm-hmm. So no button CTAs. We've never really used images with them. We did more of like the traditional digest of a headline, a little blurb, and then a text link. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to have done really well. So we're going to go down that path a little bit more. So it did show us that they will engage. We just have to figure out the right content to serve in the correct format. So we're definitely well on our way there.
Cool. If you were to go back in time and perfect this email, is there anything that you would have changed about it?
The only thing I would have changed is knowing last year that I would need a 3 to 6 month lead to get email and asset approved for sending AMP emails. That is the one thing I would change because I really wish we could have sent this out to the email and acid audience. Mm-hmm. I think they would have gone wild for it. I think they would have loved it, the AMP version. So that's my only regret with this email is that our email and acid audience was not able to experience it in AMP for email because a lot of them are Gmail users, but we'll get there. We'll get them something one day.
Yeah. Are you going to send something similar like later down the line, some other type of?
I hope so. My dream is that I can do in registration emails or in email registration for our conference. That's something I've been trying to do for a very long time. And doing the actual form in AMP is very easy, but getting the correct responses back to say whether a submission is successful or not is harder. Mm-hmm. So you can send data through, It'll go through to the event software, but you don't get a response back. So you don't know if it worked or not.
The recipient, like the person who filled out the form.
Right. They won't know. Okay. So like we go back to customer user experience. Mm-hmm. I can't in good conscience send that out to somebody and have them submitting a registration and not knowing in that moment whether it went through or not.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of that middle piece that we need to figure out and tends to need to involve a software engineer. So have to figure that piece out.
Okay. I hope you get it working.
Yeah. I hope so too. One day, one day.
Awesome. 3 to 6 months. Is that how much time you have?
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome. Okay. Last question. What are your favorite emails to swipe from? Like what brands do you like to swipe from?
Yeah. So the funny thing, and when I saw that you sent this question over, I kind of laughed because I recently aggressively unsubscribed from a lot of marketing emails.
See, but I love that because it means that you are really focused on the ones that you like and enjoy. Right. And you're not just filling your inbox with emails that you don't open.
Right. It was just like, it was too much. And yeah, there's an adage to subscribe to everything, but aggressively unsubscribe from the things that don't serve you. So it's sometimes I'll sign up for emails and be like, oh, these are cute, but like, I'm not going to buy this product. So I'm going to get it out of my inbox. Mm-hmm. Some of the brands that stick out to me right now, there's this company called Uproot that I really like. If you have pets, I highly recommend their product. They sell cleaning stuff. Their products are amazing and their emails are well designed. The copywriting is very funny. They lean into the whole pet thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, pets, it's a good niche for copywriters.
I feel like the pet niche, like those copywriters have so much fun with it. Bark's copywriting is always really fun too. Mm-hmm. They do. Yep. Uproot does a good combo of designed emails and text-only emails. And their text-only emails always come from the perspective of, I think it's a beagle, the company Beagle.
Nice.
So everything's spelt incorrectly. You can hear the dog voice.
That's so great.
In the copywriting. It's so funny. It's great. Their emails are the ones that have stood out to me lately on the e-com side. Other than that, a lot of the times when I want inspiration, I end up going over to Really Good Emails or Email Love because it's like already curated. So it's easier for me to go to a place that's already curated than trying to go through my inbox finding things, because then I'll just get sucked into places that I don't need to go in my inbox.
Buying more pet cleaner.
Yeah, buying more pet products. So yeah, that's really how I roll most of the time, is that I go to already curated collections. And that helps me out a lot because I already know I'm looking at essentially what's the best of the best.
And also what's recent and across a lot of different industries. I find that a lot of developers will use the curated feeds, whereas the copywriters will just keep getting like in their inbox, because you want that visual in the, you know, in the curated here. It's like a catalog of you just look through it and visual. And
yeah. Yeah. It's definitely easier for my brain that way.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much. This was so fun to get a tech perspective instead of just a strategy perspective, although obviously there's strategy involved too, and especially on such a fun, interactive, awesome email. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. This, I love talking about emails. So this was fun.
I know, right?
If you really want to make this re-listen actionable, check out the takeaways episode for this email story. You'll find the link in the show notes, and we'll also republish it on Monday. I won't be sending any promos for it though, so make sure you're following the show if you want to get that notification. Otherwise, we'll see you next week for a new old favorite.